Praise God. Hallelujah. When we look at your sermon notes, if you don't have them, by the way, you can raise your hand and Lawrence can get one to you. All right, everyone got notes. Awesome. Well, today the title of my sermon is called In the Case of Mega Faith. In the Case of Mega Faith. You know, I got to tell you, I remember when I first became a Christian, I remember I would go to church and I would hear the pastor be talking about the fact that you got to put your whole trust and your whole faith in God, that you must believe in Him to do the impossible. I remember He would tell us, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I remember as a, you know, new Christian, I said, okay, what do I have to do to show God that I have this kind of faith? I want to please Him, so I want to show Him that I have this kind of faith. So you know what I did? I decided I'm going to put it to the test. And I remember I was still in college at that time, and remember, there was a test coming up. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to believe in God that He's going to help me in this test. So I'm not going to study too much. I believe God's going to give me all the answers because that's what He does. In faith, I know He will do it for me. So I studied minimally. I'm talking 10 minutes, maybe less, and just basically what I heard in class. And so I said, okay, I know the Lord will do it. And I prayed, okay, Lord, do it. And you know what? I tell you, miraculously, I got an A on the test. I don't know what happened. Maybe I just was able to pay attention more carefully to what the teacher was saying, but I got an A. And then, oh, this is good. Maybe I can get through life just going to God like this. I don't have to do anything. And I remember the second time I did this, guess what grade I got? I got an F. Yes, I got a big, fat F. And I was thinking, Lord, what happened? I had faith. I had great faith, didn't I? And the Lord showed it to me. Maybe like years later, He brought this back to my attention. And He said, Ben, you remember that time you did this, that you asked for my help with your test? And He showed me the first time around, He was gracious to me. He showed mercy to me. And somehow it could have been that I paid attention even more intently to the teacher that I knew the answers to the test. But the second time around, He showed me, Ben, that was not great faith. It was great foolishness. Because if the truth had to be told, I was just a lazy guy. I thought I could get through life. No, Lord, give me all that I need and I don't have to work at it at all. And just like how sometimes we put God like a genie in a bottle. Only when we need Him, we'll call on Him that He'll give us everything we need, that we don't have to work hard. And that's not the case. God, He knows our heart. And He knew this is not the way to have a relationship with Him. And He made it very clear to me. No, your relationship with me is based on love. Your love for me. And I said, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. And I was truly foolish. But we're going to look in Scripture today in a case where we see, yes, this particular woman had great faith. Let's look at what it says here in Mark 7, 24-30. It's in your notes. I'm going to read it. You can follow along. It says here, from there, Jesus arose, and He went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but He could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Him, and she came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to Him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then He said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon had gone out and her daughter was lying on the bed. And we look at it from another bird's eye view, and this is in Matthew now, 15, 27, 28. It's the same incident here, and this is what Matthew says in verse 27. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, in this story, we see Jesus. He has left the Jewish area of Galilee, and He's approaching the seaport of Tyre. And you got to understand, this is a pagan Gentile area. It's sort of like Las Vegas, right? We call it what? Sin City. It's So you can imagine, this is a very un-Jewish and un-rabbi thing to do. But Jesus, he knew there was a reason he had to go there. He knew there was a desperate mother that needed his help. And you notice the verbs that are describing this woman. She heard about him. She came and fell at his feet and begged for his help. And you know, in Matthew 15:23, it says that Jesus answered her not a word. She was begging for help, and Jesus didn't say a word. Not a single word. And her response to his non-response was to keep crying for mercy. Even though Jesus didn't say anything, she just kept on crying and begging Jesus for help. And you got to understand, desperate people, they do desperate things. You ever been in a desperate situation before? Man, you're willing to do anything to get yourself out of the dilemma you're in. And when you're desperate, you don't care what people think, and you're not going to give up easily. You're going to say, whatever it takes to get myself out of this deep pit that I'm in. And Jesus, he finally said in summary, I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, my mission is for the Jews. Why take the food of children and give it to the dogs? Imagine, she's calling this woman, hey, your dog. And the word dog would be better translated little dog or puppy. And basically Jesus is saying, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their puppy. How would you feel at that moment if someone called you a dog? You would bark? Oh, okay, good, brother. Well, you gotta understand, Jesus, he was not being unkind, but he was making a theological point. His first priority was Jewish people at that time. And the woman just replied, yes, Lord. But even the puppies under the table get some crumbs. In other words, she's saying, what you're saying is true, but I don't need a full meal. Just a few crumbs will be sufficient. You got to understand, she's not even asking for leftovers, because leftovers, you can put it on a plate. No, she's saying whatever is left as crumbs on the floor, I'm willing to take. And you kind of think, wow, why is that so special to Jesus? Because you can sense that this is something that Jesus was very pleased with, that she knew that she had this kind of faith to say, Lord, this is all I want. And the reason why Jesus knew this was great faith, because it showed the humility. And it's impossible to have this kind of great faith without having that humility deep within your heart. Because Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. And the Greek word for great is megas. We get the word what? Mega. And you heard of that word being used, you know, to describe like mega churches and so forth, but it means huge, right? Big, gigantuous. And that's where Jesus knew this woman had this kind of faith, and he was pleased because this woman truly had mega faith. And from this story, we notice the characteristics of mega faith. What are these characteristics? Well, look in your notes. Number one here says, mega faith does not deny the problem. Mega faith does not deny the problem. And you got to understand, it's not about the power of positive thinking or a way at looking at life through rose-colored glasses. Because sometimes people think, okay, if I think positive, everything will get better. Well, it's good. You can think positive, right? It's okay, I know it's pretty bad right now, but I know it's going to get better, right? And just try to think on the positive. But the problem is, if you just think on the positive and you don't go to Jesus, there's a problem there. Because you still got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. It's not just about thinking, okay, I'm going to be positive. Because putting on these rosy, you know, sunshades and thinking, okay, now I can see everything is going to be brighter. Everything's going to get better now. No, it's not going to happen. You still got to go to Jesus. Because you know what? Mega faith is realistic. It's acknowledging that you still have the challenges, you have difficulties, you have struggles, you have suffering. But the very fact is, you know that without God, nothing can be done. It has to start with you. It starts with a humility that has to come within yourself and say, Lord, I got to turn things around. Lord, I want things to get better, but I know you got to help me, Lord. Change me from the inside out. And we know that as you are honest, as you are realistic about your problems and your struggles, God knows your heart. He'll help you to turn things around. I want you to listen to what Paul says. He's realistic, knowing, say, hey, I'm struggling here. Look what it says in your notes in Romans 7, 23 to 25. It says here, but there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. In another translation, it says, oh, what a wretch I am. This is what Paul is saying. He says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? But look what he does here now. He says, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And he acknowledges, yeah, I'm struggling. I got some problems here. I want to be rid of this sinful life and this sinful thinking. But it hangs on to me. But you know what he does? As he hooks on to God, he knows the answer. The answer is in Jesus Christ. He needs Jesus to empower him, to have that grace in him to say, I can do it. Because with Christ, nothing is impossible. And we must remember that. It's not within our own flesh that we can accomplish what God wants us to do. It's only by his grace, by his power, that we are enabled to live a holy life. A life that is true, a life that is pure unto God. Amen? And you must be willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to do. The answer is in Christ Jesus. And we also look in Psalm 22, 6 to 8. David, he had this same kind of problem. Look what he says. But I am a worm. I am not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? You can just imagine. He is like a laughingstock. He has enemies that want him dead. And yet, he acknowledges, man, I'm a worm. I'm not a man. Look at me. And you know, the thing is, when we can go to the Lord and we can just, you know, just be honest with him. But the thing is, we make sure we don't get too much into this pity party. Because, yeah, we can call ourselves a worm and stuff, but you got to realize that God can turn things around. You're not going to remain a worm. You're going to be something that God will bring forth out of your heart so that you can be used by his hand to bring him glory. And you know you'll be lifted up. You're not going to stay where you are. God will not see to it that you're going to stay a worm. God's going to lift you up, but you must hang on to him. You must say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm trusting in you. I'm believing you. God, he will get you there. God promises it. And what he says he will do, it will come forth. You can count on it. And as we live according to his word, you see the power will be displayed. You'll see the miracles that will happen in your life. Well, number two here, it says mega faith goes directly to the source of blessing and throws itself at the what? The feet of Jesus. And you got to understand, with this woman, as soon as she heard of Christ, she came and fell at his feet. And if you were here last week, we talked about that man was possessed by demon spirits, right? When he was delivered, he was sitting where? At the feet of Jesus, because he was humble. And here's the thing, when sometimes we depend too much on our own abilities and our own resources, that's where we start to lose dependence on God. We start to think, okay, now I think I can do things my own way now. Okay, I don't need you anymore, God. I'm good. I'm good enough, so you can go back. And I'll live the life I want to live now. Well, if you do that, guess what? You are on your own. And you will just see how far you can go, because you know what? God says, I want to pour out my blessing on you. He doesn't want to let you go. But you got to have the heart to say, Lord, keep on going. When things start getting better in your life, you hang on to Jesus even more. You hang on to him even tighter. Lord, even more so, I need you. Because I know I can fail, Lord. With my way of doing things, I know, Lord, I can fail. So you hang on to God even tighter. And you say, Lord, I just want to surrender all of me unto you. And you keep going with that. In Hebrews 4:14-16, it says here, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do. Talking about Jesus here, he understands our weakness. He faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. You got to understand, Jesus understands because he's God. And he came down to earth in flesh as man. And you know, some people, they may believe that God can never truly understand what we go through as human beings. Because they may say, isn't he almighty God? He created it all. He created the universe. He's all powerful. He's almighty. He's everlasting God. How can he truly understand what I'm going through? I'm just a mere tiny little ant. Even not even an ant, a little piece of dirt. And some people may say, how can anyone understand what I'm going through? How can God understand what I'm going through? But you know, according to this verse, we know he was fully human and he's fully God. And he did this because of his great love for us. And while he walked here on this planet Earth, you know, he knew the pains, the sufferings that we are going through. And just think about this, you know? It's just like us, to try to understand what it feels like to be an amoeba. You know what an amoeba is? A single-celled organism, usually found in like bacteria. You can't see it, right? But can you even imagine what it's like to be an amoeba? Can't do it unless you become one, right? And you know, that's impossible. We can become an amoeba. But that's the thing. Jesus, he knows because he came down on this earth, fully human, yet fully God. So don't say he doesn't understand. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because he even went through pain and suffering and endured death on a cross. So don't say he doesn't understand. Yes, he does. He did it because he loved you and he loved me. And for her to fall at Jesus' feet was an act of submission, carrying the idea of total abandonment to the purpose, the plan, and the power of God. He's saying, Lord, whatever you want. She didn't come with her own plan and ask Jesus to bless it. She said, Lord, I give this to you. My daughter, she needs to be delivered. That was her heart. And you know, sometimes it's frightening to give up total control, right? Because even if it's like to God, for some people, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, I got to give up my whole self to God. But the thing is, when you yield control to Jesus Christ, you're going to have freedom in your life. Freedom from all your sins, all your sorrow, all the pain. God says, I will deliver you. And God will set you free. And you're going to have his peace in your life. And we got to realize who we're giving control to. We're giving our life to God, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. You're giving it to him, and he's going to take your life, and he's going to make it what he knows is the best for you. That's all he has in his mind, is to bring forth his best for you. And I think that's important. When we realize our God is that immense, that huge, we're going to realize, yeah, I'm willing to surrender. And he's doing it because he loves you. You know, I remember when I was in my mid-20s, you know, I was kind of new in the faith yet, and I remember I had this opportunity to share my witness to one of the guys that worked the same place where I worked. And we actually went to this party at our friend's house, and I remember he knew that I was a churchgoer, and he heard me talking about God before with other believers, and, you know, he's not a believer, and he told me, you know, I heard you guys talking about God. Can you tell me a little bit more? I was like, what? And, you know, this is probably the first time I ever talked to anyone about God. I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I never shared my faith with anyone at that point. And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? You know, I'm scratching my head, and I said, really, I want to know. Tell me more about your God. And I remember, on my way driving to my friend's house, I heard the song on the radio. You heard the song, A Higher Love? Bring me a higher love. Oh, you know, with Don Henley, right? You guys know that song, right? I don't think it's about God, right? But, okay, I remember listening to the song, and I go, okay, maybe I'll talk to him about this higher love. So I said, do you believe there's a higher love? That's what I asked him. I go, higher love? I said, yes. Just think about this. Knowing that we're in this world, do you believe there's a love that is higher than any form of human love? He kind of started thinking about it. What? I said, yeah. Do you believe there's a higher being with a higher love that loves us so much he's willing to give us his ultimate sacrifice, his son Jesus? And he kind of just said, wow, I never thought of that. There has to be a higher love. And I had to almost say, oh. But I didn't. But it's funny, I remember we talked for like 15 more minutes or so. And then after that, we went our separate ways, and I would see him, you know, at the workplace every now and then, but we never really talked. But I remember a year later, I left the workplace, and I didn't hear from him for quite a while. And I remember, get this now, about 10 years later, I see him at Zippy's, at Ala Moana, and he tells me, he says, Ben, you remember me? I said, of course. Hey, how's it? He says, I'm a Christian. Praise God. And he tells me, he says, Ben, do you remember having that talk with me at this party about who God is? About him being a higher love? Yeah, I do. And he goes, well, after we had that talk, I had a talk with my wife. And I told her, you know what? I really believe there's a higher being on this planet Earth and that he has a higher love for all of us. And he asked her to go to church that week. I didn't even know this. And he said that since then, he's learned to develop a close, loving relationship with God. And you know what he tells me? Now, he's going to be enrolled in a Christian Bible college. He wants to go into full-time ministry. Can you imagine that? And my heart is going, wow! I'm going, praise God! And all it took was for me to show him there is a higher love. But sometimes we think, you know, on this planet Earth we live in, that's all there is to it. Just love that we can express to each other, which is good. Whether it be mother, father, to the children, to husband and wives, whatever, to friends. Sometimes you just wonder, is that all? But then when you truly experience the love of God, there's this higher form of love. It's the highest form of love you could ever imagine. So much, the Bible says, you can understand it. It's unfathomable. And it's for you. It's for me. And that's what hooked onto his heart. And I realized, man, it's kind of funny when you think about it. God used this song, this is a higher love, to bring him to Christ. And you know what? It simply just takes that understanding to say, Lord, I know you are that highest form of love. More of it. I want more of it, Lord. Fill me up with this highest love. Amen? Well, number three here, it says, mega faith is persistent. Mega faith is persistent. You know, at first, Jesus doesn't even answer this woman. We find this in Matthew 15, you know. But when he did finally answer her, his tone was almost kind of sounding like discouraging. You know, in verse 27, it says, but Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And like I mentioned earlier, if someone said, okay, I'll give you what you want, but understand, you're a dog to me. How would you feel? Would you say, oh, okay, I am. Or would you say, I'll forget you there. I don't need your help. Get away from me. Right? Some of us, we're going to say, I don't want you. You're going to insult me. Forget you. I don't need your help. But you know what? This is the way that Jesus knew this woman's heart was really humble. Humble to the point that he knew that she was totally depending on him. Because it tells us she kept on begging. And we should always pray and not faint. You know, sometimes we don't get the answer right away. Sometimes we don't get the answer. We don't hear anything. Don't stop. It tells us we are to keep on praying. Even if you don't hear from God at that moment, you keep on praying. You keep on saying, Lord, I need you, Lord. I know you are for me, Lord. I need you. Help me, Lord. And it should persist. Your prayer and faith should persist even when God doesn't seem to respond with even a word. I want you to look what it says here in Luke 11, 5 through 9. It says here, this is Jesus talking here. It says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used his story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls up from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I cannot help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of his, what? Shameless persistence. And so I tell you, Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find it. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. Yeah. Jesus makes it plain and clear. You keep on asking, even if you don't get what you want. Keep on asking. And you may ask, how come Jesus wants me to keep doing that? Why didn't he just answer me the first time? Well, think about this. There's some times he'll answer us right away. But think about it. If it's the continual case of every time we ask for something, God delivers. He gives. Guess what? We're going to almost make him like a genie in a bottle, like I mentioned earlier. Oh, just rub that lamp. Okay, out you come. Okay, give me this, Lord. Boom, it comes. Okay, you know what? You're not going to develop a strong, loving relationship with God. You're not going to have patience. You're not going to have the kind of understanding that God wants you to have. That's why God sometimes says, you got to wait on me. Because I'm developing your character. I'm developing your patience. So that you truly have this kind of heart that really depends on me. And I got to tell you about this story about this farmer's donkey that fell into a well. You know, the animal cried pitifully for hours. And the farmer's trying to figure out, oh, how can I get this donkey out of the well? And you know, finally, you know what the farmer decided? So, oh, this donkey is pretty old, so you know what? My well needs to be covered up, so hey, it's not worth it to try to retrieve this donkey. So you know what he did? He called all his neighbors, oh, come guys, you know, come, you know, to come on my land. And he asked them for help. And do you think they helped him to retrieve the donkey? No, everyone grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well with the donkey in it. Yeah, they were trying to bury it alive. And soon enough, the donkey realized what was happening, and he was starting to cry horribly. Like, hee-haw! Hee-haw! What are you doing? What are you doing? Then to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. And a few shovels later, the farmer looked down, and he was so astonished. Because here's the thing, as every shovel of dirt hit the donkey's back, you know what they did? The donkey did something so amazing. He would shake it off and he would take a step up because, you know, the well was being filled up. As the farmers continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and he'd take a step up. And pretty soon everyone was so amazed because, you know, the donkey had stepped over the edge of the well and just trotted off. And I just kind of wonder though, you know, if he stepped out, did he look at the owner and give him a, you know, kick or something? But, you know, it just makes us think, you know, when things get rough, you just got to learn to shake it off with God's help. Say, Lord, give me the strength. I'm not going to let this keep me down. Father, help me. Shake it off and you step up with God. You take the hand of God, I'm stepping up. Imagine if we can live life like this when hardships come. Shake it off. And just take the hand of the Lord. Stepping up. Imagine how your life will be so blessed because it shows you're depending on God. Look what it says in Proverbs 24:16. It tells us, for the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. And why is it that the righteous will keep getting up, that they fall 7 times and rise up again? He because when you truly have a loving relationship with our Father God, the power of God is in you. He will give you strength. He will give you the ability to shake it off and step up. That's where we know if you're right before God, because it says the righteous. It doesn't mean we're always right. Basically means we're always making our lives right with God. We're going to God in the heart of repentance. We're going to God with a heart that's saying, Lord, I messed up, but I want to make it right. Look what it says here in Genesis 50:20. It says here, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. And who is this talking here? It's Joseph. And you kind of know the story about Joseph, right? And his brothers tried to kill him, throw him in a pit, and tried to sell him into slavery and all that. But in the very end, he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And you know, there was a great famine, and he took care of it. And you know, at first, the brothers didn't recognize him, but when they did, they were fearful. Oh no, what are you going to do to us now? But no, he said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And you may think, oh, people, they're so unfair. People, they treat me so unkind. And you know, the evil may be at your doorstep every day. People just wanting to harm you. But you got to realize God can turn it around. God can make it all good if you trust in Him. If you believe in Him, God can turn it all around. But you must hang on to God. And just like this donkey, you know, when he saw these people throwing dirt on him, he could easily say, okay, I give up. I'm just going to lie here and just go fill him up. But he didn't do that, did he? He had the persistence. He said, no, I ain't going to let this happen. And as believers, we must do the same. But at the same time, depend on God. Depend on Him, that He will be the one that will come to your rescue. Like that song that Freeman just sang, He will come to our rescue. As He stretches out His hand, let Him bring you up. Amen? Number four here, it says, mega faith responds with submission. And the woman, she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And these are two very important words we must have in our prayer vocabulary. Because too many times, yeah, we go to God in prayer and we ask Him for things. This is good. We can do that. And we tell Him, okay, Lord, I need this, I need that. And you pray for others. But sometimes the Lord may tell you to do something. Oh, but Lord, I can't do that. I don't have time. Lord, I'm busy. The Lord needs to hear, yes, Lord, from you. There are times the Lord may be telling you, go speak to your neighbor. She's looking a little hurt, and she's looking a little downtrodden. Go talk to her. He said, no, Lord, I don't have the time right now. No, Lord, I don't know what she's going to think of me. No, you must say, yes, Lord. When He gives you instructions in life, you must say, yes, Lord. I'm listening and I'm going to do as you say. Just like this woman, she says, yes, Lord. Because then you will acknowledge who is in charge. You realize it's God that must have total reign over our heart. We can't just give Him part of us. We got to be all in. We can't be partly in. We got to be all in. Just like Jesus when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look what it says here in Matthew 26:39. It says here, going a little farther, Jesus fell with His face to the ground and He prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will. And we got to say, Lord, it's not about me. It's about You. I'm going to do as You say. I know it might cause me some inconvenience. It might even cause me some hardship. But Lord, it's not about me. I'm going to do it Your way. That's what God loves to hear, when you can say, yes, Lord. Because great faith surrenders the outcome to God. And you realize He knows what's best for us. And you're going to say, Lord, it's Your way. I'm not going to think my way. Because you may think, you know, Your way will bring forth quicker results. But it won't bring forth the best. When we wait, God's best will come. Amen? Well, you must hold on to God and believe in Him. You know, there's a story of this captain of a ship that one night the ship was sailing in the ocean, and he looked in the dark night and he saw like faint lights in the distance, just faint lights off in the great distance. And immediately the captain told the signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. He was saying, send a message to that, you know, that whatever there is, you know, that with that faint light. So he says, alter your course 10 degrees south. And promptly a message was returned. You know what that message was? No, alter your course 10 degrees north. And the captain goes, what? And he was angered, and because his command had been ignored. And so he sent a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. And soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. And immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing, okay, I've got to evoke some fear on this guy here. So once again, he says, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. And then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. And that's the thing, right? Sometimes we think, oh, I'm a battleship. You know, I'm huge. You know, I'm a leader. I'm this, I am that. I'm the boss of the company. I'm this, right? And we think, okay, Lord, I want it my way. But you got to realize God is immovable. You cannot move God. You think you are big and mighty and stuff? God, He's a lighthouse. You may think you're super as a battleship, but God is immense as a lighthouse. And we gotta submit to Him. We cannot say, Lord, get out of my way. Because sometimes people say, you know what? I know that I have been praying for a job, and the Lord, I thought He gave me this job. I know I received it. I already told Him I'm gonna work, but I know it sounds like God doesn't want me to take this job. And I go, so why are you taking it? And they're telling me, you know, because I know this is something that I need. But I say, you know what? God's going to provide you something better. I keep telling people, you know, got to wait on the Lord. And he says, no, I just want it my way. I want God just to get out of my way. Because I know He's kind of making me miserable. He's telling me not to take this job, even though I've been praying. And I know I want this job. I said, you know what? If you know this is not God, because you're going to be even more miserable. Guaranteed. So God knows what's best for you. And He's not going to move because He loves you. And you must submit to Him. And say, Lord, I know this job will give me what I need. Will give me, you know, good salary and all that. But Lord, You are greater importance to me. I'm willing to give it up. I'm submitting to You so that Your best will come in my life. And I've seen it. When people were willing to give it up, something better, I'm talking way better, comes. And because of the fact they submitted to God. And we must learn to get into that heart of submitting to God. Amen? Because He will only provide you with better things as you trust in Him. Well, number five here. It says, mega faith is always rewarded. Mega faith is always rewarded. You know, going home, the woman found her child whole and the demon gone, right? She had been delivered from these demon spirits. And, you know, you got to understand, great faith is always rewarded with divine intervention. Always. When you have this kind of mega, mega faith. I mean, the heart to believe. Remember, with this kind of faith, you got to be what? Humble. Because you can say, yeah, I have the faith to believe, but you're not humble inside. It's no good. Let me just tell you that right now. It's no good. You must come with a humble heart. Because God will come forth with His divine intervention. Sometimes He's going to bring forth a miracle that will knock your socks off. A miracle sometimes is instant healing. Sometimes, you know, God will just provide a place to live, you know, for someone who has no home. And God will do this. But another way that He will intervene is He'll give you a specific message. Who speak into your life, and you must be all ears. And as He speaks to you, you must say, yes, Lord. You must say, Lord, I hear You, and I'm doing it. He will give you that special message if you're at that point in your life where you're showing great faith in Him. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11:6. It says here, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, and that He rewards those who sincerely, what? Seek Him. And you know, with great faith, That's what will come, great works. Because if you're doing ministry and you have this great faith in you, you're humble before the Lord, and you're just saying, Lord, I believe in you for everything. Just watch the fruits that will be born in your ministry. You'll see people turning their lives over to Jesus as you speak the word, because you're going with great faith. This is key, because if you're walking around like you're defeated, why would anyone want to listen to you? You know, when you go and just tell people the good news about Jesus Christ, even though you got problems in your life, you know that God is there for you. That's your assurance. You're not letting that go. That is why you have great faith, because you know Jesus is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So you're holding on to God with everything you got. Yeah, I got to tell you, you're going to see the great and mighty works of God being displayed. There's going to be manifestations of God's work in your life, in your ministry, if you have this kind of great faith. And I got to tell you about this preacher. Basically, he died and he went to heaven. And when he was in heaven, he noticed that a New York cab driver had been given a higher place than he had been given. And it seemed like this New York cab driver had a greater reward. So he goes to the Apostle Peter, right? And he goes, hey, Peter, I don't understand. I devoted my entire life to my congregation. And the Apostle Peter says, well, you know what? Our policy is to reward results. And Peter reminded him, do you remember what happened on Sunday morning? And he kind of scratches his head, well, so he says, well, Reverend, do you remember what happens whenever you give a sermon? And the minister admitted, well, I know there were some members of the church that fell asleep. And Peter says, exactly. And you have to understand, Reverend, when people ride in this man's taxi, they not only stayed awake, they pray. Okay, good. I get some laughs. Yesterday I told this no one that. Everyone's just like, what? But you get it, right? Because of the fact that, hey, if you're a New York cab driver, okay, Bob, you're from New York. You know about those taxi cab drivers, right? Like, zoom, zoom, you know, and they're like in and out, right? So they stayed awake and they prayed, right? I don't have to explain anymore, right? Okay, thank you. But the only thing I got to say about it, if that's true, please, everyone, stay awake, okay? But here's the thing. We know with great faith, the impossible can be done. Really, it starts from here. Yeah, it's more than just saying, I believe. Remember, get humble before the Lord. Get humble before your brothers and sisters first, and then say, I believe. Because we know this woman was willing to accept even the crumbs from the floor. Think about it. Are you willing to accept crumbs from the floor? Are you willing to say, it's okay, you can call me a dog. If it's from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, is it okay? It shows how humble you are before the Lord. This is what the Lord requires of us. It's not because I said it, it's in the Word. This is key. You must have this kind of humility. Then God will lift you up. Because if you don't, God, He will not lift you up. Because pride is still in your heart. We must let go of that. We must let go of that. You know, I got to tell you about this man named Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. And he made the voyage on a single sailing vessel. And as he neared the channel between southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard a knock on his door. And when he had opened the door, it was the captain of the ship. And the captain says, Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. And they're stuck right in the middle of the ocean. And he says, we are drifting now, though, towards an island where the people are heathen. And I fear that they are cannibals. And we're going right towards them. Oh, would you be freaking out or what? Well, Hudson Taylor says, well, what can I do? What can I do? And the captain says, well, I understand you are a man of God. You believe in God, don't you? I want you to pray for wind. And Hudson Taylor says, all right, Captain, I will, but you must do this one thing. I said, what? Go and set the sail. And the captain responds, oh, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. And the sailors, my sailors will think I'm crazy. I can't do that. But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. And you know what? 45 minutes later, the captain returned and he found the missionary, Hudson, he's still on his knees praying. And you know what the captain says to him? You know what? You can stop praying now. We got more wind than we know what to do with. And probably they were going in circles because the wind was so strong. So he's like, stop praying. And what was it, do you think? Was it about Hudson Taylor's prayer that was so strong that God answered? And you know what? You gotta believe it was because of his great faith. He had mega faith. I'm sure Hudson Taylor was humbled to that point where he says, you know, I know, Lord, there's no other way out but you alone. So show them. Show them how mighty and awesome your hand is, Lord. Save us. And that's what we do. When we can go to God like that, humble ourselves before him, God, he will always show himself strong. Because when things don't go as planned in your life, there are times, right, when things don't go the way you want it. We got to set our sail out and believe in that miracle wind that will come from the very hand of God. That he will make that sail go smoothly, go as strong as he wants it, so that we are out of this dilemma we're in. You must believe in God for everything you got. Well, I'm going to show you this video. It's a song, actually, sung by this group named Cutlass. And this is actually one of my favorite Christian songs. And it has to do with faith. I'm going to ask Arthur, can you go ahead and play that video, please?
Miracles just
question to ask, whose faith is it that delivered this little girl from this demon possession? Was it the little girl? Or was it the mother? The mother had faith to believe, and it was given to her. She cried out to God. She cried out to Jesus. She humbled herself, and Jesus answered her. Jesus delivered the daughter. And here's the point. Sometimes when it seems like we're just so beaten down, and we can't muster up the faith to have this kind of mega faith, just think about all the people around you that love you. And if they have the faith, you just say, oh, keep on praying for me. Oh, help me. Just keep on going to God for me. Because you know what? God will take that kind of faith too. Even if it's not from you, even if it's from your friends or your family, whoever. You know what? Because when God answers and you're delivered, guess what's going to happen to your faith? You're going to start having mega faith too. It's okay, go to others. Just keep on asking people to pray for you. And you know, like in that song, yeah, I love that part where it says, even though the sky is falling. You ever felt like that, where the sky is just falling on you and it's crushing you? You let your faith arise. You let your inner man, your spiritual man, rise up and say, I have faith to believe. This is not the end. God is for me. What can man do to me? If you just go with God, God, he will see you through. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your message that was spoken for me. Knowing, Father, Lord, we must have faith to believe in you. But more importantly, when we say we have faith, if we're not humbled before you, faith doesn't really matter. That's what we learned in this passage today. We must come before you with a heart that is full of humility. Even so willing to say, you know what? I don't need to have a full meal. I don't even need the leftovers. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs, Lord. Do we have that kind of humility in us? Because if we do, God's going to lift you up. In due time, he will lift you up as your heart is surrendered and submitted to him. Now, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you realize your heart hasn't been truly humbled, you may be going to the Lord, you may be saying, oh, I'm a believer, I know, I am a follower of Christ. But your heart isn't humbled. Now, you still have pride in there. You're still doing things your own way. Know that you can pray to God, but God, he's listening, but he can't really do anything because your heart still has that pride. Brothers and sisters, you must let go of that pride so that God can come in and fill you up, overflowing of his goodness. You will start seeing results. You will start seeing his hand at work when you can come to him in this kind of faith with a humbled heart. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you're saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. I'm humbling myself before you, Lord. I'm believing in you for everything. Everything I am, everything that I got, Lord, it belongs to you. I belong to you. I come, Lord, with a heart of total surrender. And if that's truly the cry of your heart, with all our heads bowed with our eyes closed, can you say, that's me, Pastor Ben? Can you raise your hand and say, that is me, Father? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your hands up. Say, that's me, Lord. Just let the Lord know, that's me. I'm humbling myself. I'm surrendering to you. It's not about me. It's all about you, Father. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I know you're here, Lord. You just seen all the hands that were raised. All of these hands raised up to you saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself. I'm humbling myself before you, Father. Oh, Father, will you just touch their heart right now? Just let them know that you are here for them. Just let your presence just come and fill their hearts. Fill their souls, their empty souls. Let them be so filled, there will be no emptiness. There will just be a great feeling of your peace and of your love and of your joy. Father, just touch their hearts and let them know that you are for them. You're not against them, you are for them. I pray, Father, as they truly have decided that they're going to live their lives for you, I just pray, Lord, as they step out this door, they're going to start seeing, Lord, your hand at work. They're going to start seeing miracles that will take place. They will see relationships being restored in the name of Jesus. They're going to see peace coming to their household. They're going to experience joy like they never experienced before. Father, I pray right now, Lord, just let that flowing of your presence just be continual, Lord, upon their lives as they come with a heart trusting in you, believing in you, Father. Let there be an overflowing of your goodness. We praise you, Lord, knowing that you love us so much. We give you shouts of glory for what a mighty, awesome God we serve. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard about people talking about that I can have a relationship with Father God, with His Son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from within your heart. And if you are willing, you're saying, Lord, I want to surrender and submit myself fully to you. God knows if your heart is sincere or not. And if you are ready and you are willing to say, Lord, here's my heart. I'm giving it over to you. And if you are wanting to say, Lord, just come into my life, I want you to just direct me and guide me. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you make this decision for Him today, you're saved. God will come in. He will save you from whatever situation you're in. And He will make sure that you're on a path that will lead to greater and greater blessings. And He promises all of us eternal life. And if you're saved, you're saying, I'm on board. I want the Lord to take my life and have His way in my life. Once again, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. I'm giving my all to Him. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone saying, yes, Lord, I surrender all. I'm saying yes to you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Just repeat this prayer after me, and God knows if your heart is real and if you sincerely express this to God. Know He's listening right now. He's going to take your life, and as you get in His Word, as you live His Word, He's going to change you from the inside out. So just repeat this prayer after me, but remembering, let it come from your heart. You should repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just.
You are faithful and just.
To forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, Lord. So you can hear me. And so that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. So that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. And I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen.